You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Getting closer and closer to the trial against Richard Allen in the Delphi murder case and the accusations against him. But is he the one? That's what we want to find out once this finally does make it to trial. But as we are getting closer and closer, we're learning more and more about other people who maybe should have had a little bit of a closer eye on them as well. People who have actually made confessions too before ever being arrested, or never being arrested for that matter. Confessions that didn't really seem to be looked at all that closely. It's being brought up in court just the other week by Rushville Police Chief Todd Click, who testified that he was part of a small group of detectives that developed a very credible theory linking Carroll County Odinist to the girls' killings. And that's where we also got that other confession. Joining me to discuss, defense attorney Eric Fattis and former prosecutor. Eric, it's the case that keeps on giving in terms of insanity. What's your thoughts on this and these other possible suspects that just don't seem to have ever really, been examined that closely?
Significant developments, some revelations are coming out as this case progresses, which sort of changed the landscape of it potentially. And earlier on we were talking and I said, it's often unlikely that a court is going to dismiss a case just based on investigatory mishaps and stuff like that. But things are sort of compounding and getting more problematic for the government in this case based on these new revelations we heard.
Yeah, I mean, what happens in something like this where you have, your one case, you're going after Richard Allen, but at the same point, it's like, hey, guys, did you see all this other stuff over here that, we did dig up? It wasn't like this was some YouTube sleuth or something that, made these accusations a couple years ago. This was their investigators. This was a former police chief that was looking into this. But then they just decided, we're not going to quite go down that road. I don't know. I mean, do you start investigating this other person right now, or are they just going to keep going down this road of, well, let's see what happens with Richard first?
What it seems to me is, and I can't speak for the government, sure, but just in my observation, it seems like they've got some blinders on. They've sort of decided who they're going after, and they're not going to change courses regardless of what information comes to light. And that's really dangerous because, to have these prosecutorial arms that have so much power and are really not willing to hear about other possible explanations, other possible suspects. I think that that's really a problem systemically and certainly a problem for Richard Allen.
I mean, and why? Why do they refuse to do this? I mean, is it ego? Is it we went so far down this road? Is it, because it just seems like such a glaring problem. It's not like one that can easily just be swept under the rug anymore. Like, a DVR that was destroyed and, we're going to find out about it 5 years later.
Yeah, we like to think that, the government are the folks with the white hats and they're there to do the right thing. And oftentimes they are. But sometimes they're human beings, like you said, Tony, and egos get involved. There's a lot of national attention on this case. And so I think if they sort of changed courses, perhaps they would receive some criticism like, you guys got it wrong before. But that is necessary criticism. And that's a necessary change that should happen if the government does conclude that maybe they got the wrong dude, or at least there's additional investigation that has to happen.
Well, the criticism is going to be there no matter what. That's the thing. They're not going to escape criticism at this point. Wouldn't it look more responsible at this point to say, we screwed this up somehow, but there is something. We have the information now that we do want to look at. Please forgive us for this. You don't have to. There'll probably be lawsuits no matter what. But look, we want to do the right thing. We want to figure this out. Because it's so glaring, because there's all this attention on it, it looks more and more horrible if they don't try and go some other direction here, or at least make the appearance that they're going to investigate. I mean, maybe not drop the whole case against Richard Allen, but to say that, this other guy, Elvis Fields is who we're talking about, because he had made confessions to his sister. The sister even did a lie detector. There's no reason for this sister to be lying about any of this or making any of this up. And it was viewed as being fairly credible. I mean, you can't put a lie detector into a courtroom, but it seems that he knew information about the crime scene as well that no one else really should have known. And he's talking about it, but he's not that bright of a guy. That seems to be the laurels that they're arguing this on. Is like, well, he's a little slow. So it couldn't have been him. I don't know. I mean, it seems they keep digging the hole and it gets deeper and deeper and everybody's screaming, this hole's getting deeper. And they're like, bring over the backhoe. Like, let's keep going.
They're still digging, man. And it's, you know, we would want them to do the responsible thing, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it might be unpopular with some folks. And rest assured, in that community, you know, there is probably a contingent with, you know, a mob and pitchforks, and they want vengeance. They want to see closure here. And I get that. And I think perhaps law enforcement is worried about what the societal response could be. But that doesn't mean that they can just, you know, continue doing the wrong thing or close their eyes to what appears to be relevant evidence.
Well, that's what it's like. Closure at what cost of just like going down the road of insanity of that's not closure. I mean, if we got the wrong guy here and that's determined in court after all of these years, that's not closure. This family still, their murderer is still out there then. And if there's potential leads to people who may have done this, who actually have admitted to doing this, who said that they were there, who know information about the crime scene that no one else really knew about, why would we not be? I mean, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where in our minds we think, oh, the system will of course work that way because that's what it should do. And then when it doesn't and nobody's double checking it, it's like, oh, you didn't do that, did you?
Yeah, it's scary as heck. And you know, why are we just hearing about this in 2024? Yeah. This stuff happened in 2017, the better part of a decade ago. His attorneys, Rich Val's attorneys, should have been informed of this years ago. And I think that a lot of people are raising some eyebrows and saying, what the heck's going on there in Delphi?
Well, and that DVR that was had all the information, all those interviews off of the first week taped over because somebody didn't know what they were doing and how to use it. I get it. I mean, the joke used to be when we were kids, how do you program a VCR? And nobody knew how to program the VCR. DVR is usually a little bit easier, but still, I mean, if you're going to start using this thing in interrogation rooms, at the very least, you'd think you would know how to use the damn thing. So I don't know if I completely buy this argument that everything was recorded over. I mean, I kind of do. They already seem fairly incompetent, so it's not shocking to me that they don't know how to use a DVR. But at the same point, you taped over some of the most important critical information in the investigation in that first week, and you're telling us that that's not important information anyhow. Who did you talk to? Oh, we don't know. We didn't keep a log of that either. So we're going to go to like every other case that they have ever investigated and gone, first week of information, we don't need it. Don't care. It's not important to anybody. Because clearly it is. But in this case, it's not, because it doesn't reflect well on them.
Yeah, anytime the government says, like, oh, we made a mistake, but hey, don't worry about that. Don't look into it. It's no big deal. That's when you need to be worrying about it. That's when you need to be looking into it.
I mean, what is part of this? Do we have these sort of problems? And I think this is obviously way off the freaking rails. But, you know, we see more and more cases, it seems, around the country where things just go way off the rails. And then it just keeps happening again and again and again. Is it because there's no accountability for so many of these people in their positions where, you know, there's no accountability for judges that are acting like gull. There's no accountability for police officers or investigators that are completely off their rails. There's no accountability for a prosecutor that just doesn't know what the hell they're doing. And when found to be derelict in their duties or just inept at them because they're not qualified to do them correctly, it's just like slap on the wrist, you know, do better next time. Meanwhile, everyone's life has been thrown into chaos for all this time because of incompetence. And that's just what it's left. It's like, well, it's incompetence. Should we modify this system? Should we go back and go, you know what? There's going to be serious consequences if you can't do your shit correctly.
Tony, I have seen this happen more times than anyone would like to be aware of. And one thing that I propose is we look at the civil justice system. If a plaintiff brings a case and it is frivolous, that there is just no significant basis for it, then the defense wins the case and they get their attorney's fees as kind of a deterrent for that plaintiff to not do that again.
Yeah.
I propose something similar in the criminal justice realm, where if the case is truly frivolous and there was not significant evidence supporting it, the government should have to pay the defense's attorney's fees to at least even the scale a little bit and impose a deterrent on the government to try and prevent them from doing that again.
Yeah. It's baffling. I don't know, you know, where this is all going to end up landing. Hopefully we do end up seeing that that court date actually take place. But we got more issues there. You know, Judge Gull not allowing transcripts on these non-televised hearings. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on. I mean, that was another thing that kind of got me is not allowing the transcripts. I understand that there's some sort of like a recording system within there that they can kind of garner some, I don't know. It just seems like far more hoops than should exist to jump through to get information that already is by law public.
Especially in a case where the public is starting to have less trust in the government and what they did. That is where we need transparency the most. And these should be public proceedings. They're criminal. And so, I think imposing any kind of impediment to the public knowing what's going on only raises further red flags for the public and everybody else following this case.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.